This is Jay Sekulow, the irregularities of the House impeachment inquiry.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this broadcast on Friday. Here's what we're going to do. I want to encourage you, first of all, get your friends involved in this conversation. So if you're on social media platforms, share it with your friends right now. Radio, tell your friends to listen. Look, we've spent about 2.5-3 weeks going through what I call the irregularities of this whole impeachment inquiry. There are serious constitutional issues that have been raised. I mean, really serious. Everything from separation of powers to the supremacy clause to the freedom of speech and freedom of association. There have been attacks made by the California state legislature to try to change the qualifications to be president of the United States by adding a tax return requirement. A court struck that down. There's an attempt by a district attorney in New York, a county attorney for New York, to obtain financial records of the sitting president of the United States. We got a stay in that subpoena just a few days ago from the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. Then you have the irregularities of the House proceeding itself. Besides the fact that you can't call witnesses, besides the fact that you can't cross-examine, the White House has issued a letter dealing with these issues. That's come out this week. Then you have the chairman of the committee himself saying he did not speak with the whistleblower, and his team did not speak with the whistleblower. That ended up being false. He has a hearing, and he reads a transcript. It said, except it's not the transcript of the actual conversation, which he also had, but he didn't bother to read that into the record. And then this real constitutional issue regarding the president of the United States through the executive branch, Article 2, exercising constitutionally protected privileges, including executive privilege. And now the House of Representatives wants to say that that in and of itself is a violation of the president's basically his oath of office. It's grounds for an impeachment. Well, first it was the Russia hoax. They couldn't prove that. No collusion. Then it was obstruction of the Mueller investigation, except Mueller did his investigation and he couldn't establish obstruction. And then he testified. And that was about the last time you heard from Bob Mueller or the whole Russia probe. Then you had quid pro quo with Ukraine, except the transcript's released and there is no quid pro quo. But there's a whistleblower, but the whistleblower doesn't have firsthand knowledge for most of what's in there. But the whistleblower also didn't bother to tell the inspector general that they had had conversations with the House committee. Oh, and then the inspector general found out that this particular whistleblower had a political bias, a political animus. But don't worry, we've got a second whistleblower. Hasn't filled out the forms yet, but has retained a lawyer. Happens to be the same law firm as the first whistleblower. But now you don't hear a whole lot about the Ukraine conversation. Now it's they're stonewalling us. They're not allowing this to move forward. That may be the basis of this impeachment inquiry, except Article 1, Section 2 of the United States Constitution talks about impeachment being from the House of Representatives, not a subcommittee, not a committee. But they haven't had that vote. So they have turned the Constitution upside down. Harry Hutchinson called it, they are grabbing for power by the Constitution. We've also called it an attempt to weaponize the execution of the United States Constitution. What I want to do on this broadcast today, and this is why it's really important for you to get your friends involved in this conversation. What I want to do today is to go back through each one of these historic events. Because they've all taken, we talk about history, it's taken place over about 3 weeks. And we're going to go back and take a look at each and every one of these and show you exactly what's at stake for our constitutional republic. If you're on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, other social media platforms, share this with your friends. If you're listening on radio, call your friends. Same thing on TV. Call your friends. You need to understand that what is at stake in all of this, what we've seen over the Constitution of the last 3 weeks, is an overriding of the Constitution, an attempted destruction of the Constitution. But the good news is we've got a lot of options. And we're prepared to engage those options as is necessary. So stay tuned. A lot more ahead. We're gonna take a look at where this came from and where it's going.
Jordan Sekulow's new book, The Next Red Wave, provides a critical look at what's ahead in the run-up to next year's election. In this bestseller, Jordan sets the stage for what's ahead, a close look at the deep state, the liberal bureaucracy, and the challenges facing our constitutional republic. This weekend, Jordan will appear on Huckabee on TBN Network. Governor Ike Huckabee will discuss the next red wave on his show, Huckabee, Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern on TBN. It's a show you won't want to miss. There's a powerhouse lineup on tap for this week's program, including an appearance by Vice President Mike Pence. Jordan Sekulow's new book, The Next Red Wave, will play a key role in the discussion on Huckabee this Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the show Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on TBN Network. Or you can stream the program live at facebook.com/Huckabee on TBN. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
And we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your calls, and we will be, obviously, we're going line by line on this transcript. Joining us in the studio, Pam Bennett's in our offices in Washington, D.C., and we have Andy Economo and Wes Smith and Professor Harry Hutchinson. Everybody's here as well. So let's go. I think we need to go through this and analyze it and give you a line by line. We've got a lot of people watching on Periscope and Facebook and on our website right now. Let me encourage you to share this with your friends. You know how to do that. We're going to give you a line-by-line analysis. We're going to start with the beginning. The call was on July 25th. It was the place was the residence. That's the residence in the White House where the president and his family lives. It's the subject is a telephone conversation with President Zelensky of Ukraine. The participants were the president of Ukraine, President Zelensky, and President Trump. Note takers, White House Situation Room. That's where they actually took the notes. First line, the president, congratulations on a great victory. This is President Trump. We all watched from the United States, and you did a terrific job. The way you came from behind somebody who wasn't given much of a chance, and you ended up with winning easily. It's a fantastic achievement. Congratulations. To which President Zelensky responds, and I want to give you, that's why I want to give you line by line on this. You're absolutely right, Mr. President. We did win big, and we worked hard for this. We worked a lot. But I would like to confess to you that I had an opportunity to learn from you. We used quite a few of your skills and knowledge, and we were able to use it as an example for our elections. And yes, it's true that these were unique elections. We were in a unique situation that we were able to achieve a unique success. And then he says, I'm able to tell you the following. The first time you called me to congratulate me when I won the presidential election, the second time you are now calling me when my party won the parliamentary election. I think I should run more often so you can call me more often and we can talk over the phone more often. To which the president of the United States says, that's a very good idea. I think your country is very happy about that. So initially here, Andy, this is the normal way conversations would start between world leaders.
That's right. I mean, this is simply a call by the president of the United States, the most powerful and influential country in the world, to the president of Ukraine, okay, Mr. Zelensky, who, by the way, is an Orthodox Christian, and he is simply congratulating him, as protocol would require, it would seem to me, on his victory. And President Zelensky is responding very cordially and very appropriately. Thank you very much. We took a page out of your way of approaching things politically, and we succeeded in the election, and you called me, and please call me again. In other words, it is a good way to begin a hopefully good and cordial relationship.
All right, so nothing in that, Jordan, that it, and we're going line paragraph by paragraph, we're line by line, nothing in there that
No, nothing. This does not start off as some kind of call to say, hey, we got some issues, or you got to do this for this, or I'm holding up aid because of this. None of that's in this call, and it doesn't start that way. This starts off as the leader-to-leader phone call congratulating on a victory, something you would normally do with an ally.
Okay, next one. President Zelensky, well, yes, to tell you the truth, we are trying to work hard because we want to drain the swamp here in our country. We brought in many new people, not the old politicians, not the typical politicians, because we want to have a new format, a new type of government. You are a great teacher for us in that. Wes, again, you've been involved in your military experience with these kind of, not obviously with presidents, but other military leaders from other countries. This is exactly how you have a conversation.
It is very, very unremarkable. And the fact is that the bulk, I read through the transcript today, the bulk of the conversation initiated by Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is talking about how he wants to clean up Ukraine and do away with corruption. And that's the biggest part of it. Yeah, it's a very unremarkable phone call.
Okay, let's go to the next one. And this is, and I'm folks, we're taking you line by line through this, because this is the way to understand what this is and the way to analyze it. This is the president of the United States. Well, it's very nice of you to say that. He was talking about the draining the swamp reference and learning from the president. I will say that we do a lot for Ukraine. We spend a lot of effort and a lot of time, much more than the European countries are doing, and they should be helping you more than they are. Germany does almost nothing for you, and all they do is talk, and I think it's something that you should really ask them about. When I was speaking to Angela Merkel, she talks Ukraine, but she doesn't do anything. A lot of the European countries are the same way, so I think it's something you want to look into. But the United States has been very, very good to Ukraine. I wouldn't say that it's reciprocal necessarily, because things are happening that are not good, but the United States has been very good to Ukraine. Harry, what's your read on that?
Well, my read is, first, the president is pointing out the lack of support for the Ukrainians by the European community. That's number one. Number two, he is reporting on the disproportional support by the Americans. And so one of the things that the president is doing there is drawing a very stark contrast between European support for the Ukrainians and American support for the Ukrainians. And it's very, very important to note that supporting Ukraine, I think, is very, very helpful should any future conflict erupt between Ukraine and Russia.
All right. I'm going to get to the next segment in a moment. So the question, the president just said, I wouldn't say that it's reciprocal necessarily, because things are happening that are not good, but the United States has been very good to Ukraine. President Zelensky then responds, you are absolutely right, not only 100%, but actually 1,000%. I can tell you the following. I did talk to Angela Merkel. So they're all talking about international aid situations like that. Yep. I did talk to Angela Merkel. This is what he says. And I did meet with her. I also met and talked with Macron, and I told him that they are not doing quite as much as they need to be doing on the issues with the sanctions. They are not enforcing the sanctions. They are not working as much as they should work for Ukraine. It turns out that even though logically the European Union should be our biggest partner, but technically the United States is a much bigger partner than the European Union. And I'm very grateful to you for that, because the United States is doing quite a lot for Ukraine. This is the head of Ukraine saying this. So understand that. Much more than the European Union's, especially when we are talking about sanctions against the Russian Federation. I would also like to thank you for your great support in the area of defense. We are ready to continue to cooperate. For the next step, specifically, we are almost ready to buy more javelins from the United States for defense purposes. Wes, what are javelins?
Javelins are anti-tank missiles. You have to keep in mind that Ukraine has been invaded by Russia. They not only took Crimea, they've invaded the eastern part of Ukraine with their militia groups allied to Russia, the former Soviet Union. The Obama administration refused to give the Ukrainians any lethal weapons. They gave them MREs and sleeping bags, basically. President Trump turned the corner on that. He has given them weapons and ammunition, communication devices, okay, night vision goggles, and the javelins are very important because Russia has a lot of armor in eastern Ukraine and the Crimea, and javelins are anti-tank weapons.
So the reference there, Andy, is the, and you've studied the European Union extensively at Oxford and other places.
Yes.
The complaint that President Zelensky is raising at this point in the conversation is something that, following up on what the president said, that the European Union was not doing enough of their job.
He said he's talked to Angela Merkel. He talked to Macron, by the way, for those who may not know, it is Emmanuel Macron, the president of France. And he has talked to them, and he has asked them about enforcing the sanctions and helping the Ukraine. And he's saying they're not doing nearly as much as the United States is doing for us. And we appreciate what you're doing. You're doing quite a lot. And he's making a factual statement, because even if you look at the support that is being given, a great deal more is coming from the United States for Ukraine than from the European Union, and specifically Germany and France, Jay.
All right, let me go back to the transcript. This is President Trump. So we just had the whole, remember what the conversation was. They were talking about lack of international assistance going proportionately to Ukraine. The president, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. And then it says dot, dot, dot. The server, they say, Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on, the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the attorney general call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday, that whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance, but they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it if that's possible. Look, folks, that is talking about something that a president who was subject to this clearly had a right to talk about. And that was the entire investigation matter and Ukraine's involvement. Now, I'm going to go to our producer here because we're still trying. Do we have the details on CrowdStrike, Will?
So CrowdStrike was a firm here, United States based, that helped the DNC with their investigation of the hack that was alleged during the 2016 election cycle.
And because there were reports that it was coming out of Ukraine, right?
There were some reports of that. It's still, based off the media reports we're seeing, unclear exactly the context
like
of
Russia
this is.
Russia may have hacked into a Ukrainian system so that it would look like it was Ukraine and not Russia that was behind it, and to try to mess up the relationship between the U.S. and Ukraine.
Okay, Andy, anything in there that is problematic with what the president said?
No, absolutely not. He's asking him to look into something that I think is relevant and appropriate to get to the bottom of it. And he ends up with saying correctly, the whole nonsense ended with the Mueller report, which we know ended up with nothing.
Okay, so there's the big takeaway on the top here. But let me read this very quickly. President Zelensky responds, yes, it's very important for me and everything that you just mentioned earlier. For me as a president, it's very important we are open for any future cooperation. Cooperation on finding out what took place during this whole who hacked who to what. All right, folks, we're getting ready to take a break. Let me encourage you to share this feed with your friends. We've got a lot more to talk about. Stay tuned.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Jordan Sekulow's new book, The Next Red Wave, provides a critical look at what's ahead in the run-up to next year's election. In this bestseller, Jordan sets the stage for what's ahead, a close look at the deep state, the liberal bureaucracy, and the challenges facing our constitutional republic. This weekend, Jordan will appear on Huckabee on TBN Network. Governor Ike Huckabee will discuss The Next Red Wave on his show, Huckabee, Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern on TBN. It's a show you won't want to miss. There's a powerhouse lineup on tap for this week's program, including an appearance by Vice President Mike Pence. Jordan Sekulow's new book, The Next Red Wave, will play a key role in the discussion on Huckabee, this Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the show Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on TBN Network. Or you can stream the program live at facebook.com/HuckabeeOnTBN.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're going through a detailed analysis of what has taken place over the last several weeks impacting our Constitution. Professor Hutchison is drafting a piece that we're going to post at aclj.org, and we're going to put it up on all of our resources. I would encourage our internet team, our social media teams, make sure that Professor Hutchison's piece, I'm going to co-author that with you, Harry, we're going to put that up on all of our various platforms. I think this is really important. You need to understand the legal obligations here and the legal issues. They are making things up to sound nefarious when, in fact, they're constitutionally correct and legally appropriate. And that is what this is all about. And understand what we're dealing with. We're taking your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. Let me go to Kathy. She's calling from Colorado. Kathy, you're on the air.
Thanks for having me on. I am just so sick of being upset with the Republican Party. Where are they backing our president? Look at all that's been uncovered. And we hear from Jim Jordan, Steve Scalise, Kevin McCarthy. You know the ones who are active in this. So much has been uncovered, and not one Democrat has paid a day of consequence.
Well, let me tell you what the story is here, okay? And you need to understand this. And look, elections have consequences. So if you control the House, this is what happens. But then we have to be prepared to respond legally. Now, let's talk about the politics of this for a moment. Than, I want to go to you. On the politics of the moment, there seems to be not only a rush to judgment and a violation of due process, but they're trying to get this thing moving quickly, yet at the same time, I still see resistance among some of their members. Tell me where you see it laying out right now.
Well, there's resistance, Jay, because if there wasn't resistance, the House would have already taken a vote. Again, I mean, I know I sound like a broken record here, but each of the three times this has happened in the House of Representatives, when an effort to impeach a president has happened, the Speaker has first gone to the full House to authorize that inquiry. And, Jay, there's a very important reason for this. Look, elections matter. Elections are how the people have power over who their president is. And if there's going to be an effort to remove an elected president, other elected officials have to be willing to put their name on the lines. That's why they have always gone to the House of Representatives to authorize an inquiry. Jay, they did not have the votes when Nancy Pelosi announced this inquiry before even reading the transcript that it was based on. So she still has not crossed that hurdle. Jay, in all of the other impeachment cases, one of two things has happened. After the House authorized the inquiry, either there was a second vote of the entire House to invoke the articles of impeachment, or in the case of Richard Nixon, he resigned before that. But Jay, I'm just going to simply answer your question this way. This is all about politics at this point. But even though it's all about politics, Jay, even the Democrats in the House know that there really isn't anything here, and there's a big reason for it. This piece of evidence that I'm holding, the transcript, it was never supposed to be released. They thought they could engage this based on a fictional narrative that Chairman Schiff would make up. Too bad the evidence is out and they can no longer do that.
No, there's no question about that. But I got to tell you something. Professor Hutchison here on our team has uncovered what I think is unbelievably, incredibly important. Like I said, no one's reporting this. And that is the treaty obligations that exist between and the treaty capabilities that exist. I mean, it's covered under international law anyways. But to have treaty obligations, we've got one with Australia, we got one with Ukraine. I'm sure there's others as we go forward with this. No one wants to, they want to talk about these phone calls. You can't believe the president's asked for assistance on an investigation going into the origins of the Russia Mueller nonsense. He has the absolute right to do it. And there's a treaty that says do it.
Absolutely. And so what we have here are deep state actors who seek to criminalize the United States Constitution. That's effectively what they're pursuing here, because the United States and the Ukraine have mutual assistance treaty obligations. And it's important to note that this treaty was transmitted to the United States Senate by Bill Clinton during his term as president. It was ratified by the United States Senate, and it is still in effect. And let me point out that this particular treaty provides for all forms of assistance available any other form of assistance not prohibited by law. That is extremely broad. It certainly covers the inquiry made by President Trump, and it certainly covers the cooperation sought by Attorney General Barr with Ukrainian and other officials, whether it's the it's Australia, whether it's the Ukraine, or whether it is the United Kingdom.
I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm looking at these documents, and they want to call an impeachment on this. It's going to be game, set, match. First of all, look, you know what happens in the end, right? If they were to take this to a vote on the House and vote articles of impeachment out, it goes to the Senate, verdict clear. Because everybody knows in the Senate, at least the majority knows, that this is nonsense. No due process, no violations of law, nothing illegal violation, no rules, regulations violated here, and it's political shenanigans. But let me tell you this, they want to play political shenanigans. Let me and my colleagues answer questions to them. Ask them questions under oath. I'd like to put the members. Sometimes they testify. Are they going to testify if there was an impeachment proceedings? Do we get to ask them questions? I got a whole series I'd like to ask. I suspect it doesn't happen that way. But I'm going to tell you this right now so everybody understands what we have. We've got headlines being blasted out there that have no foundation in law or fact. Let's go next to the phones. Diane's calling from Wisconsin. Diane, you're on the air.
Yes, here's my question. First, thank you very much. The words don't say what I feel about you guys doing your hard work. But here's the question. When I was an employer at medical and school, when I didn't follow protocol, I was either warned and then eventually fired. Now, I realize the vote idea. However, is there no committee, and I don't know this, in the Senate or House that will say, you are to do the people's work. They are spending the people's money. That's their salary. I'm the employer. They're the employee. Is there no committee that watches over this kind of extraordinary and rather illegal?
Well, let me tell you this. No, they're playing by a different rule book. And Dan Bennett's got another one here that I think is worth noting, because they're changing the rules. And this is you're in a football game and you're in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go. You're getting ready to run a touchdown play, and you know what? We decided there's a new rule. The offense becomes the defense. Go ahead, Fan.
Jay, previous impeachments, the minority in the House, to the caller's point, they had subpoena power. So you say you want to question the witnesses that will be called to testify in this? That would have been allowed in previous impeachment proceedings. But this time, not only did Speaker Pelosi not call for a vote of the House, she has not granted subpoena power to the minority. So the majority will have the entire power. That was a point vociferously argued by John Conyers the last time around. One more thing, Jay. Jerry Nadler, you've heard of him, the current chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Bill McGurn in the Wall Street Journal brought out a great point. When this happened against Bill Clinton, Jay, he was one of the strongest voices railing against Republicans for not allowing more debate before what? Before the full House authorized an impeachment inquiry. My question to you, Jay, where is the current chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, John Conyers, calling on not only for more debate on the House floor before a vote, where is he on actually calling his colleagues to actually put their name on the line and have that vote that he was so strongly in favor of a long time ago? Jay, the answer is very simple, and you just said it. New set of rules this time around.
Yeah, doesn't work that way. All right, if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you need to go over to ACLJ.org, Periscope, or you can, of course, get us on Facebook. But there's multiple ways to get it. SiriusXM, a number of stations. Stay tuned. You think this is just the beginning of the discussion? We've got a lot more to discuss here. I want you to be available. I want you to understand. I want you to share the feed with your friends right now on all the social media forms you're on. If you're listening on radio, call your friends. Tell them to listen in. This is really important. The Constitutional Republic's at stake here. I want you to understand the rules, the laws, the obligations that exist. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. But let me encourage you, share this information with your friends right now.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Again, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. Share it with your friends right now. Let me tell you, we're going through a detailed analysis of what has taken place over the last several weeks impacting our Constitution. We want to get you really educated. Here we go. New York Times reports that days before the CIA officer filed a whistleblower complaint, the Democratic head of the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Adam Schiff of California, learned about the CIA's, the outlines of the CIA officer's concern. The complaint was actually filed on August 12th of 2019. That wasn't made public until September 25th. But on August either 8th, 9th, 10th, sometime right before the whistleblower filed the complaint, Adam Schiff's team is notified. He specifically denies being notified or having conversations with this individual or his staff. Let me play this for you. Again, his words, not mine. Here they are.
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to.
Yeah, except you did. You did speak directly to the whistleblower. So you must have liked to because you did. Then a tweet goes out on August 28th. In this tweet, you talk about Ukraine funding and say Trump is withholding military aid to Ukraine while his personal lawyer seeks help from the Ukraine government to investigate his political opponent. It doesn't take a stable genius to see the magnitude of this conflict or how destructive it is to our national security. But it doesn't take much of a stable genius to also figure out, obviously, you knew what was in the whistleblower complaint, which you already denied that you had talk to the whistleblower, your team had spoken to the whistleblower. You denied that, but then you put that tweet out. I'm just playing the evidence. Then, of course, September 17th, we've not spoken directly to the person. Then you read the statement, and what was the date of the hearing? Well, this is important. The transcript is released on September 25th. What is the date that the hearing takes place? And this is important for people to understand. When the actual hearing takes place, when Adam Schiff does that parody.
Same day the complaint is released, that's September 26th.
Okay, so he already had the complaint because it was released to them earlier in the day. He has the complaint. When is the transcript of the call released? The day before. What does Adam Schiff do on the day of the hearing, though? Take a listen.
This is the essence of what the president communicates. We've been very good to your country, very good. No other country has done as much as we have. But you know what? I don't see much reciprocity here. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only seven times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it, on this and on that. I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him. Trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked. This is, in sum and character, what the president was trying to communicate with the president of Ukraine. It would be funny if it wasn't such a graphic betrayal of the president's oath of office.
All right, so here's the thing you have to understand. He says, make up dirt on my opponent, so-called Joe Biden. Make up dirt, lots of it. Is that in there? No, it's not. Don't call me until this is done. Not in there. What does this tell you this is? A fraud on the American people. But guess what? The president has legal counsel. The American people have legal counsel. And we are looking at every option to put an end to this charade. We're going to have your calls and comments. We come back, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The truth will set you free. They should be telling it. But we found out that Congress just had a, the committee just had an interview. And apparently, as we expected, the Republicans were not able to ask questions. We're going to have more on that when we come back from the break. Again, support the work of the ACLJ. We are in court today, literally today, in court in California, standing up against big abortion, Planned Parenthood. We've got an email out on that right now. We'll talk to you in a moment. 1-800-684-3110.
Jordan Sekulow's new book, The Next Red Wave, provides a critical look at what's ahead in the run-up to next year's election. In this bestseller, Jordan sets the stage for what's ahead. A close look at the deep state, the liberal bureaucracy, and the challenges facing our constitutional republic. This weekend, Jordan will appear on Huckabee on TBN Network. Governor Ike Huckabee will discuss the next red wave on his show, Huckabee, Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern on TBN. It's a show you won't want to miss. There's a powerhouse lineup on tap for this week's program, including an appearance by Vice President Mike Pence. Jordan Sekulow's new book, The Next Red Wave, will play a key role in the discussion on Huckabee this Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the show Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on TBN Network. Or you can stream the program live at facebook.com/Huckabee on TBN. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Sound from the Adam Schiff conference where he talks about the witnesses, the failure to produce the witnesses. I want you to hear this, folks. Let me set up a context. Adam Schiff is actually saying this publicly, that your failure to put up witnesses and comply with our subpoenas is evidence of obstruction of our investigation and subject to an article of impeachment. Except these are constitutional prerogatives. But as I said, this is coming from a Congress that doesn't even recognize attorney-client privilege. You can imagine how that sits in Washington, D.C. among the legal community. They don't recognize attorney-client privilege? Well, guess what? Everyone else does. They want to test that in court? Good luck. We win. All right. I want you to hear the words of Adam Schiff. That's what's important here. Take a listen.
The failure to produce this witness, the failure to produce these documents, we consider yet additional strong evidence of obstruction of the constitutional functions of Congress, a co-equal branch of government.
A co-equal branch of government, yes. A superior branch of government, no. Actions that are superior to the Constitution are, guess what? Unconstitutional. Let me break this down. The failure to produce this witness, first Harry Hutchinson, director of policy at the ACLJ, what they're not saying is the failure to produce the witness was based on a constitutional executive privilege.
Absolutely. So Adam Schiff and many of the Democrats consistently ignore the Constitution or alternatively seek to criminalize the execution of the Constitution when they think it favors their attempt to grab power permanently. What Adam Schiff fails to understand, of course, is that the United States Constitution gives Congress Article I legislative power, the president, Article II, executive power, and the United States courts judicial power under Article III. It is clear beyond question that the president retains executive privilege under Article II. But House Democrats, as I understand it, not only refuse to recognize executive privilege, they now refuse to recognize attorney-client privilege or deliberative privilege. In other words, this is a mad grab for power that ignores the Constitution.
Every week, Harry Hutchison comes up with the line, say that one again, a mad grab.
A mad grab for power by House Democrats, who consistently, A, ignore the Constitution, and secondarily, without evidence, they seek to, as Bill McGurn points out, impeach Trump voters.
So here's what, if you would have told me this, they could use that on Chris Cuomo, you know. You did, though. That's okay. We broke the news on that at Jay Sekulow Live. The mad grab for power. So let's go to the second. That's only, by the way, the first five words of his statement. Let's go to the second one. The failure to produce these documents. So the failure to produce this witness, the failure to produce these documents, we consider yet another additional strong evidence of obstruction. Now, let's break this down. Failure to produce this witness. Constitutionally protected for that witness not to have to testify. That's the executive privilege. Failure to produce these documents. Executive privilege on the document. This is rooted in the Constitution itself. We consider yet another additional strong evidence of obstruction of constitutional functions of Congress, a co-equal branch of government. Let me tell you what this is. I'm going to say it exactly what I said in the beginning of this broadcast. Let me tell you what this is. Russia collusion, couldn't prove it. Didn't happen. Obstruction, nope, couldn't reach an obstruction claim. So that was Bob Mueller. Remember him? That was like 100 years ago, it seems like. Nobody's talking about the Mueller report. Anybody talking about Bob Mueller's investigation for 2.5 years and $40 million? Not after that testimony. So that's over with. Then it was aha. The president had a conversation with Ukraine. The president of Ukraine. What can we do with that? Well, there was a quid pro quo. If you do this, we'll do that. Except the transcripts then released and there's no quid pro quo. Oh, okay. I'll tell you what it is. There was a cover-up, I tell you. There was a cover-up. Except the transcript was released. Then Adam Schiff says, I'm going to call a hearing on this and read the transcript. Except he doesn't read the transcript. He makes one up. But this is coming from the same person that said, by the way, that evidence of collusion was just laying right out in front of him. It wasn't in front of Bob Mueller, who had, you know, 15 FBI agents and the resources, a $40 million investigation. They couldn't find it, but I guess Adam Schiff saw something that nobody else has yet seen. I want to play this one back for everybody. I would like to remind everybody that he was asked specifically about talking to the witness, the whistleblower. Do we have that one available? We have it? Let's go ahead and play it. Remember this one?
Have you heard from the whistleblower? Do you want to hear from the whistleblower? What protections could you provide to the whistleblower? And then you also said that the DNI is refusing to turn over this stuff, citing a request from a higher authority. The insinuation left, at least for me and others, was that the president himself had intervened. Is that the insinuation you sought to provide? And if so, what basis do you have for making that insinuation?
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns.
Okay. Four Pinocchios from the Washington Post on that one. So this is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, the Permanent Committee on Select Committee on Intelligence. This is the head guy. This is the guy that's bringing the, quote, impeachment inquiry. By the way, hearing a lot from Jerry Nadler these days? Not so much. So this is the guy, Adam Schiff, who's, we would like to speak to this person, who your team has already spoken to. But don't worry, it's consistent because the whistleblower number one, that whistleblower didn't bother to put down on the form that they've been in contact with Congress. But have no fear. Have no fear because nobody cares about whistleblower number one anymore because now there's whistleblower number two who hasn't yet filed a formal anything as far as we know. But hey, don't worry, they retain that same law firm that's representing whistleblower number one. I wonder who's paying for all these people, by the way. I'd like to find that out. And then the White House has the nerve to say, you know what, we put up an ambassador last week as a witness who was treated unbelievably, as you heard from Jim Jordan, unbelievably poorly. Why would we do that again? Executive privilege. Oh, if you exercise executive privilege, you are thwarting our investigation. So we don't have to impeach now over Russia collusion or Russia or obstruction in the Mueller investigation or the Ukraine letter and conversation, the conversation rather. We don't have to. No impeachment on that. We don't have to do that. We can now impeach on obstruction of our investigation because what? You're exercising your constitutional privilege. A mad grab for power by Adam Schiff and company. That's what this is. Understand what is at play. This is a complete charade. And why would we, as the president's counsel, as counsel of the president, or why would my colleagues on the inside, the White House counsel's office, play this charade? What is the advantage of doing that? Why would you subject anybody to this nonsense? And Harry, it's right there. He says it. They're a co-equal branch of government. You say these witnesses don't testify. That's a grounds for impeachment.
Well, Schiff's analysis is nonsensical. If indeed Congress and the president are co-equal branches of government within the meaning of the Constitution, Schiff does not necessarily have superior power. And indeed, if he believes that Congress has superior power to the executive branch, he can test this in court before an Article III judge.
Right.
And so if he is so confident in his analysis, then he can indeed go to court. But I also think it's clear beyond question, as you alluded to, Jay, that Adam Schiff has consistently lied to the American people. And one could argue that Adam Schiff's lies amount to self-impeachment. In other words, why would anyone in their right mind believe Adam Schiff, believe his constitutional analysis? Certainly his analysis is inconsistent with constitutional history.
Well, it's inconsistent with constitutional history. Again, this is from the same House of Representatives committees that don't recognize attorney-client privilege. I mean, just think about that. Let that one sink in for a moment. You're going to trust the running of your government to people that will not recognize the attorney-client privilege, the executive privilege under Article 2 of the United States Constitution? I mean, that's what is really at play here. Understand what is actually at play here. They failed on Russia. They failed on obstruction. They failed on the Ukraine conversation. They failed on quid pro quo. So now it is, you're not letting witnesses come forward. That's obstructing our investigation. We'll impeach on that. I still don't believe they'll do it. If they do, game on. But look, they're shredding the Constitution in the process, and you just can't let them do it. So whether we have to go to court to enforce it, what I said the other day, let me reiterate, just so everybody's listening understands, every option is on the table. Every single constitutional option is on the table right now. They want to play this way. They want to have their skirmish, is what I keep calling it, handled this way. Fine. See you in court if we need to. Share this feed with your friends right now. We encourage you to do that. If you're listening on radio, do the same thing. Share it with your friends. ACLJ.org, great way to stay engaged with us, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ for our Twitter feeds as well. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Share with your friends right now, very important.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Jordan Sekulow's new book, The Next Red Wave, provides a critical look at what's ahead in the run-up to next year's election. In this bestseller, Jordan sets the stage for what's ahead. A close look at the deep state, the liberal bureaucracy, and the challenges facing our constitutional republic. This weekend, Jordan will appear on Huckabee on TBN Network. Governor Ike Huckabee will discuss the next red wave on his show, Huckabee, Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern on TBN. It's a show you won't want to miss. There's a powerhouse lineup on tap for this week's program, including an appearance by Vice President Mike Pence. Jordan Sekulow's new book, The Next Red Wave, will play a key role in the discussion on Huckabee this Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the show Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on TBN Network. Or you can stream the program live at facebook.com/Huckabee on TBN.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going through a detailed analysis of what has taken place over the last several weeks impacting our Constitution. So share this with your friends right now. Tell your friends to watch the broadcast or listen on radio. We want to get you really educated. Here we go. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Chris is calling from Nevada. If you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Chris, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. If the president prevails at either the Second Circuit or even the Supreme Court on the Cyrus Vance tax return lawsuit, can the president then request attorney fees under either the Equal Access to Justice Act or some other federal statute against that county for bringing these suits?
Yeah, interesting. So denial of civil rights, a 1983 type action. I don't know. I haven't looked at the. Obviously, the thing that's not on the top of my mind is the recovery of awards of attorney's fees in a case like this. Look, this is a case that could end up in this. Harry Hutchin and I were just talking about this. I mean, this is a hugely significant constitutional issue. If the courts were to rule against our position as it went up, I think there's a really good chance that certiorari would be granted. And boy, that would be right in the what we do at the American Center for Law and Justice. That would be right in our zone. I mean, that is the quintessential supremacy clause constitutional powers. I mean, that would be the case, right? I mean, that would be the case of a lifetime in one sense.
I think you're correct. I think this case could have huge implications for any future president. So I think it's very important to pursue this on behalf of President Trump, because we will then set a standard going forward for future presidents and presidential power. I think it's also clear beyond question that many states and many states' attorneys generals have been unleashed to go out and look for cases in order to harass this particular president. And if they're able to succeed here, then there's nothing that would prevent future district attorneys from pursuing frivolous actions against future presidents.
100%.
So this is an extremely important case, has huge constitutional implications.
What did we say? There was 5,000 local district attorneys and assistants.
I think that is absolutely 5,000.
So let's say a third of them are angry at the president. Yes. So you can unleash 1,200? So that's why the founders said we're not going to let local magistrates, that's what they called them then, interfere with the functioning of the unique position the president has in our constitutional framework. All right, taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Carol on Facebook said this: imagine if the left put the amount of effort they've exhausted against the president to actual policy changes for the American people. That'd be interesting. Rosemary said, and this is a really good question, Rosemary: how can you have a second whistleblower, she puts in quotes, about something that is now fully public? Good question. What are they blowing the whistle on? This person, I guess, will say, I didn't like the president's conversation. So what? Yeah. So what? The transcript is out. So you don't like the conversation? So what? I mean, that's the legal response. So what? I've actually used in courts before where they'll make these long, eloquent arguments, and they're going on and going on, except it's irrelevant to the entire case. I said, that's very interesting, but completely irrelevant. So what? Assuming all that's true. Okay, what does that mean? So what is the second whistleblower going to have better? Because you don't hear about the first whistleblower anymore. Now, first whistleblower has gone to Bob Mueller land. No one's talking about that. All right, Nancy's calling. She's on line one from Indiana. Go ahead, Nancy. You're on the air.
Isn't there someone that could hold the House of Representatives accountable to adhering to the Constitution?
Yeah, the voters in the United States of America. It's up to the voters. Now, we also believe we have a constitutional right. We have the ability legally to hold them accountable if necessary through various potential lawsuits if necessary for violating due process, for violating, again, as I told you, Article 1. When it talks about impeachment, it's very specific. It's Article 1, Section 2. Nobody wants to read these. I do. What does it say? The House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment. The House of Representatives, not a committee. So is this an impeachment proceedings? Answer, false. No, it's not. Read the Constitution itself. It is not. That's why this is a charade. Walter is calling from Virginia. He's on line 5. Hi, Walter.
Hi, Jay. Enjoy listening to your show. I'm just really upset. They're trying to overturn, and they are determined to overturn the election of this president, and either that or make him look so bad next year that nobody will vote for him. And another thing, that, you know, you got Eric Holder along with Obama's activists, you know, trying to draw the line.
Look, here's Walter, you're in a live political season. We are 13 months from an election. What they should do if they're this concerned about it is there's an election. Let the American people decide. So instead, you've got this, you know, congressional charade going on right now because they don't want to let the American people decide because we're literally 13. Let's say they started proceeding, which they haven't. A real proceeding. And it gets to the, what are they going to do this in January, February, March? So yeah, of course you're right. They're trying to rough the president. But I think the American people, Harry, are seeing, they see right through this. It is a charade.
I think that is correct. I think voters need to get mobilized and engaged. But number two, voters need to know that the Democrats really do not care about the United States Constitution. They do not care about the results of an election. What they care about most and foremost is political power. And once they attain their objectives, their secondary objective is to remain in power permanently. So the American people need to get mobilized, they need to get engaged, and they need to take action.
This is Adam Schiff and his colleagues trying to weaponize the execution of the United States Constitution. And I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever your party affiliation might be, let me tell you what you don't do. Don't trample on the U.S. Constitution. And if the president, in consultation with his lawyers, and others, including the Department of Justice, believe that there are important executive privilege issues that emanate from the Constitution itself, those are protected. That cannot be the basis of an impeachment proceeding that you're exercising constitutional prerogatives. But of course, this comes from the House of Representatives that puts in writing they do not recognize attorney-client privilege. The House does not. Now, let me ask the American people this question. When you talk to your attorney, you assume it's confidential because of the longstanding common law recognition of attorney-client privilege. It is the very foundation of our judicial system. All right, now listen, that is going to do it for the broadcast today. Let me tell you, we've got a team. I just read you a piece of that transcript in the first half hour of the broadcast. In California right now, 3 ACLJ lawyers, 4 with our local counsel, in a case involving Planned Parenthood, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We got those lawyers in court right now. Your support makes a big difference. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org is the way to engage that. You can support the work of the ACLJ. I encourage you to do it. Become part of the team. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, any of our other social media, Instagram, our social media platforms. But you also should be getting the newsletters of the ACLJ. You could sign up for those. It's really easy to do. All you have to do is go over to ACLJ.org, sign up for the newsletters. You'll start getting our updates. And, of course, we've got a very active social media platform, so you know what's going on all the time. Well, that does it for the broadcast today. I wanted to put it all in perspective for you. That's why we did this special broadcast for today, so you would understand exactly where we've come from on this inquiry and where it's headed. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.
Yeah.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.